we, most of all, our hearts are toward the Lord. And he's done so much in our family and in our lives that until he takes me to heaven, I will praise him and I will honor him. And so today I just want to share with you guys a little bit about myself, but I want to start off with Christmas, because that's why we're here today, is to talk about Christmas and celebrate Christmas. And what started us off, and you know, sometimes we don't think about this, but we all were born with sin nature. We were all born with sin in our hearts and sin in our lives, and that began back in Genesis with Adam and Eve. And Eve was the mother of all things, so we inherited that sin nature from Eve. And how amazing is it that God loves us so much that he knew, even then, that we would need a Savior. That he knew. I mean, the Christmas story starts in Genesis, if you really think about it. You know, that's when sin entered the world, and that's when God knew that we would need a Savior, because nothing that we could do would be good enough for him. Christmas means a lot of things to many different people. To the non-believers in the world, it's just a time to get together with family, exchange presents, exchange gifts, eat, one of my favorite things. But to believers, it's so much more. You know, it should be so much more to us. It's the birth of our Savior on the earth. I mean, just when I think about that, it just blows my mind that God took on human form in the baby Jesus and lived on this earth for us. You know, I mean, it's amazing. But like I said, I noticed, you know, in the beginning in Genesis, we all were born with a sin nature and needed a Savior. And it's just amazing how that sin nature just keeps growing and growing. You know, sometimes when we're studying the Old Testament, we think those guys had it made back then. You know, they could see, they could hear from God, and they, you know, they walked, even in some of the New Testament, they walked with Jesus. They were human just like we were. And look at Moses. In Exodus, after God revealed himself in such awesome ways, Moses still doubted God. He still doubted him. And think about how often we doubt him today. Think about that. And you know, when we're thinking about Christmas and Jesus, even when we doubt, the Christmas story remains the same. It doesn't change. And look at the heart of Rebecca, how she tricked her son to take the blessing. You know, all throughout Old Testament and Scripture, there's so many things that point to reasons why we would need a Savior. And in youth group and Sunday mornings, we're teaching about David. And you look at David, a man after God's own heart. How much of a mess did David make in his life? I mean, I can relate. I've made a mess in my life before. But you think about David and I mean, just his life, it just amazes me. And God still chose him. God still used him. And God sent Jesus to die for David also. And we're told in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. So what is the answer for that sick heart? It's Jesus. That's the only thing that can make us better. It's the only thing that can cure that sin nature that we have. It goes on and on, and in Isaiah, it clearly defines this problem. And in Isaiah 59:2, it says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. A separation. Guys, when I think about the times that I was separated from God, it was a scary place. It was a scary place in my life to be separated from him. And to think that Jesus came to close that gap, to bring me and God together and do the same for you guys. That's a miracle. Yes. And that's what Christmas is about. Think about Mary and Joseph for a minute. Just think, as a mother, as a woman, knowing that child that you just had and is laying in that manger, what he's going to go through in his life. It's just, that's God's love. And the peace that God gave Mary to raise Jesus the way she did, and to watch him grow, and then finally in the end to watch his death. How hard that would be for a woman to go through, for a mother. But guys, we have to remember, God did that for us because he loves us. God is love. And that's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas makes me think of, is the love that God felt for me when I was in that deep, dark pit, that he sent Jesus to die for me.
Amen.
And that's what I want to share with everybody today, is just the birth of Jesus promised way back in Isaiah. He says, Isaiah 53:6, and we like sheep have gone astray. There's that sin problem that we have again, that we were born with. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb he is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. That's a problem. It's a sin problem again. But God provided the solution. He provided that solution for us. He loved us so much. In Luke 1:26, when every Christmas Eve night we read this at my house to my kids. And it's funny, my oldest daughter now, she's 13, and you know, she's like, oh, here we go again with this story. And she rolls her eyes, but she does come over there. And it's just funny to watch for the past 10 years how she looks at it and how she reads the story, and I ask her to read too. He says in Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. I just want to stop right there for just a second. If we believe in Jesus Christ and he is our Savior, we are his favored ones. That's amazing to me how he said that to Mary, O favored one. And we're all his favored ones. You know, we all are. He loves us all the same. Okay, I'll continue. In verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting that might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and you will be called the Son of the Most High, And the Lord will give to him the throne of David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is God's ultimate provision for our salvation. This is God's promise to us. And we see it fulfilled in the New Testament and how amazing that is. Today, my joy is found in that promise. My joy is found in that. And I just want to share with you guys a little bit of my testimony and why the Christmas story means so much to me. Why that day that Jesus was born in that manger, how that changed my life. I grew up in a house that suffered from addiction. My mother was an addict. My father passed away when I was young. And my mother felt like she had to have a man in her life at all times. And so there was just like different men in and out of our household while I was growing up. So my idea of what a father was and of what a man's supposed to be was all messed up. I was a mess. So when I did come to know Jesus as my father, I had a hard time with that. You know, a lot of people would say, Jesus, God is your father. Well, to me, the word father was not a good word. I didn't know what it meant. And so when people would try to share Jesus with me and stuff and explain that to me, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to know that because men to me were just not good people. When I was young, my father was murdered due to drugs and alcohol. I did my best to raise my brother and sister. I was the oldest, and I was the responsible one. So I took on the mother role, and I took care of them and made sure they had food and clothing while my mom was in her addiction. One day at school, one of the teachers I have a special place in my heart for teachers, because think about your kids. If they're not with you, they're usually with the teacher, aren't they, or at school. One day, one of my teachers, she just started loving us, and I think, you know, God really used her in my life. She started coming and taking us to church, and of course, my mom, she didn't care. She was just like, go. And so this teacher went out of her way. Her name was Mrs. Burrows. I'll never forget her. She would come and pick us up, take me and my brother and sister to school. She would usually take us to her house first and get us cleaned up, and take us to, or she'd take us to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And it was there at that church, in Old Country Church, where I heard the gospel, where I heard that Jesus loved me no matter what I was going through, no matter what I had came from, no matter what I looked like or what was going on in my house, that Jesus loved me. And that changed my life. And I accepted him as my Savior that day. And I just felt like a new person, as much as a small child could feel. I felt relieved. And for the first time in my life, I felt loved. Now, this teacher, she does all she can do for us to take us back and forth to church. And we moved around a lot. So we moved away from that town. And my mother's still struggling with addiction. And so I had nobody to disciple me. I had no mentors. I had no one pouring into me. So I kind of just turned my back to the Lord. You know, I felt abandoned again. What's amazing is, even though I turned my face away from Jesus, he never turns his face away from us. Never. You know? And that's a promise. It's a promise from him. He never will leave you, and he will never forsake you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on. And that's just amazing. You know, even in my darkest days, he was still there. He's the same. We're the ones that change. We're the ones that start looking to other things. Growing up, I went on into high school, and I still did my best taking care of my brother and sister, and I was determined to graduate high school. And now, you know, everybody usually graduates high school. Back in my family, I would have been the first one. I was determined to finish school. And at the age of 16, my mom had this boyfriend, and he wasn't much older than me, and we did not get along at all. And I came home one day, and my mom told me that she wanted me to leave at 16. And so, again, my world was turned upside down. And so I had a boyfriend at the time that was older than me. And so I just moved right in with him. I thought, okay, I have nowhere else to go. At the age of 16, my mom signed the paper for me to make my own decisions. And well, the next thing I thought you were supposed to do, I was like, I can't live with him if we're not married. So we got married at 16. And we were both, we were both young kids. Telling you girls back there, 16, you think you know everything. It's a whole new world out there. But at 16, you know, I'm trying to live this life, go to high school, still take care of my brother and sister. And the marriage didn't last very long at all. We were just two young people coming together, trying to just make a life, and it just wasn't there. It wasn't honoring to the Lord, and so the Lord did not honor that. And so after 2 years, that ended. And my world just started spinning around. I just started going out and partying and doing everything that my friends were doing. I would try anything that was, you know, put in front of me. But what, you know, funny thing about the Lord is he never stops working in your heart. Never. I felt so guilty every night when I went home and laid my head down. The conviction that was on me was unbearable. It was just unbearable. And no matter what I did, how far I ran, how much I drank, what I did, it did not go away. And so I knew that was the Lord. So in the middle of this, you know, I kind of started slowing down, and just, I would go to church every once in a while with my friends or just whenever I could. I met Brian, and you talk talk about two broken people coming together. That's our story. We were two broken people that came together, and God has mended us and is still mending us. When I met Brian, he had just gotten out of rehab. He had been clean for about 6 months, close to six months. I was clean at the time, and we met, and we just, it was seriously like love at first sight. It was weird. We just met, and we just couldn't stay away from each other. We moved in together, and we got pregnant, and we planned our wedding, and the wedding was going to be after the baby got here, and we were going to, the little, you know, our little girl was going to be in the wedding, and, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but the Lord is sovereign over all. And our daughter, Maisie, was born October 5th, 2002, and she went to heaven October 5th, 2002. And so that anger that was deep down inside of me my whole life that I've been carrying around, oh, that just came right back up. You know, that was just, I was angry, I was hurt, I was confused. This whole time, I it's like this little voice in my ear whispering, turn around, turn around. And I just ignored it. When I met Brian, Brian had two children when we met. He had a daughter, Adriana, who was a special needs child, and he had a daughter, Emily. And so, like I said, Maisie was born October 5th. Brian and I got married in December that year, and we were broken, but we knew we loved each other. We were fighting through depression. We were fighting not to get back on drugs again because that would have been the easy thing to do. And then in March 2003, his daughter, Adriana, lost her battle. She went to be with the Lord March 17th, 2003. She was 5 years old. We say Adriana was healed that day because Adriana never walked. Adriana never spoke. She did know who we were. She could make eye contact. So again, the anger, the hurt, the just confused. We were just confused. That's the only word I can think of. We were just like, okay, if God loves us so much, how can this keep happening? And guys, especially you girls back there, there will be times in your life when you think, if God is real, if God loves us so much, why is this happening? Well, I will finish my story and you'll see. God doesn't let anything happen without working through it. And I'm living proof of that, and I'm sure many of you others in here are too, can tell a story when God's worked in the deepest, darkest times when you thought, how's this going to work out for me? So in March, we laid Adriana to rest. And we continued on life. It's just like a struggle. It was just like we were just constantly climbing uphill. We had Riley, our 13-year-old daughter, in 2004, and she was our ray of sunshine. She was just like, we could take a deep breath. She was here. She was healthy. The poor girl, though, we smothered her. We were just over her all the time. I started praying again when I was pregnant with Riley. I hadn't prayed in a long time. And I didn't tell anybody, and I didn't tell my husband, but I just started secretly praying. And I would pray over her. And I would go in there with her at nap time, at any time, just pray over her. And I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what I was supposed to say. So I just had a conversation with the Lord, and that's what prayer is. You know, He knows our hearts. And so we're chugging on. During this time, Brian's still dabbling a little bit in alcohol and a little bit of drugs. And I'm just wanting to keep my man. So I'm just like doing enough so I can hold on to him. And 3.5 years later, Rowan was born. Well, by this time, I'm thinking, you know, God's really telling me that I have something else for you. I remember clearly, just feeling that feeling, God's whispering, God, I have something else for you. Well, we're happy, we're trekking along, and we moved to a little town, a little suburb away, and I woke up one morning and I told my husband, I said, I'm going to go to church today. He's like, what? You're going where? I'm going to take the girls and I'm going to go to church. Now, Rowan's not even a year old yet, so she's still in diapers, and, you know, Riley's 3 and a half, and I was like, yeah, we're going to go to church. He's like, well, okay, but I'm not going. I said, well, that's fine, you don't have to go. So I start going, and I join a women's Bible study group. And women's ministry is so important. It's, you know, we forget as women how much power we have. You know, there's power in numbers, there's power in prayer. And the women I met at that Bible study, two of them are still my mentors to this day. So started going to church, and I just knew that it was time for me to start living my life for the Lord, that I'd wasted enough time. I was responsible for these two children. Yes, I knew that the whole time they belonged to the Lord, but He chose me to be their mother. And what kind of legacy am I going to leave for them? So I rededicated my life to the Lord and started taking my children, and I was there every chance I could get. I just could not get enough. My first Bible that I got when I started going back to church, it really is just falling apart. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I started praying for Brian. Well, when I started praying for Brian, Brian got mad. And he was like, do not pray for me. I don't want to hear about this. You know, God's taken two of my children. I'm, you know, struggling with addiction. I don't want to hear about this. So I was just like, well, okay. I just didn't do it in front of him anymore. So I just kept praying and kept praying for him. And one day I came home from church, and I cooked lunch, and I'm, you know, doing the motherly things. And he said, okay, Maria, he said, you can either choose Jesus or you can choose me. Which one is it going to be? Because I'm not gonna do this. And I asked him one day, I was like, why were you so angry? He said, you were different. He said, there's something different about you, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And it's funny, we had just studied 1 Peter, where it says, wives, you know, live godly lives in front of your husbands so that they may be won over. And this is still one of the hardest things that I had to do. I looked at my husband and I said, Brian, I love you so much, but Jesus has to come first. I have to choose Jesus. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, what's he going to do? Well, he packed up his bags and he left. And there we are in this little rundown trailer that a possum lived underneath and sometimes would crawl through. I had Riley, he was 3 and a half, and Rowan, not even a year old yet, and my husband leaves. So I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? You know, and part of me is like, all you gotta do is just choose Brian. All you gotta do, but the Lord, His word says, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that's the verse that kept coming to my heart. Love God first. Love God first. So I went crying to my Bible study teacher's house. I was just a mess. And she said, Maria, she said, you did right. She said, but what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? I said, well, I'm going to just hit my knees and just pray for him to come back. And she said, you need to be prepared for it. What if he doesn't come back? And so then I started all these questions. Well, what if he doesn't? Well, what am I going to tell my girls? Well, what am I going to do? And she says, at the end of every sentence, when you say, what if, you need to say, then God. Then God is going to step in. Then God is going to take care of that. So all these questions that I had in my mind, thinking, I can't be a single mom. No, Maria, you can't. But with God, you can. And thinking, how am I going to get these? How am I going to explain to my girls that their dad's not coming home? Well, Maria, you can't. But then God, you know. And so that just kept coming to my heart. So I went home, and my mentor back home, her name is Lisa, she told me, she said, you get on your belly and you pray. There's something about being reverent in front of the Lord. We can talk to Him wherever we are, any time of the day, however we're standing. But when we humble ourselves and we get down on our knees or our stomachs and we cry out to Him, I mean, that's intimacy. That's being intimate with the Lord. And ladies, let me tell you, I put my kids to bed. I held myself together. I didn't. The Lord held me together while I put my kids to bed. And then I went in my bedroom floor with my Bible open, and Billy cried, and Billy prayed. And when I couldn't pray, what does the scripture say? The Spirit will intercede for you. And so I just cried and cried. And after 3 days of that, it was like 3 days automatic, I felt something different. I was begging the Lord to bring him back to me. But the Lord told me, start praying for his heart. Even if he doesn't come back, he's still my children's father. He's still going to be in my life forever. So I need to pray for his heart. So I started praying differently, and I started praying for the Lord to change his heart, even if he didn't bring him back to me. Lord, change his heart. I wanted Brian to experience what I was experiencing. You know, I wanted him to know Jesus. I wanted him to feel that joy. And it was about 2.5 weeks went by of me going through life, and it was just like going through the motions. I had church family helped me with the kids, everything. I mean, I had wonderful, God just surrounds you with people. And he's showing me that even here. God surrounded me with some amazing people and amazing friends. So I got a call one Sunday afternoon after church. I loaded my kids up and went home, and I just looked around. I was like, okay, this is going to be our Sunday afternoon now. Got a call from Brian's boss at work saying that he had been hit. He had a tree limb and fallen on him and hit him in the head. They're going to take him to the emergency room. And would I like to come? I was like, sure. So I drove to Jonesboro, which is like 45 minutes from our house, dropped the girls off with Brian's mom and went. And he had just had a little cut, like right up here. They were just stitching him up. And I went in to check on him, and he's like, what are you doing here? So just came to see that you were okay. He said, I'm fine. And he said, can I come home? And I said, sure you can. He said, but I'm not going to stop going to church. And I'm not going to stop taking the kids. He said, that's fine. I just miss you. I want to come home. So he came home. Next week, got up, got ready for church. And I went in the living room. Brian's sitting there ready to go to church. I'm like, okay. All right. So we'll go. And that went on for about a month. He would get up and go. He'd still go home, do whatever he wanted to do in the afternoons, but he would go. And one day, it was the week after Easter, it was invitation time, and our heads were bowed, we were praying, and I was holding his hand, and I didn't feel his hand anymore. It's like he was gone, and I thought, well, he ran out back, you know, to beat everybody. So I just kept praying, and when the song was over, I looked up. I look up and I see my husband on his knees at the altar. With his arms raised up. And I was like, looking around like, is this really happening? And you know, part of me wanted to run up there and be with him, but I was like, this is his time. This is his fight. This is his battle. And the Lord won that battle that day.
Amen.
When my husband surrendered to the Lord that day, our lives were forever changed, and they're still changing today. When we went to meet with the preacher that afternoon, and it was like looking at a new man next to me. He kept apologizing to me, and I told him, I forgive you. Because Jesus forgives me. And it was complete surrender.
And how sweet that sweet surrender, that when you just completely surrender to the Lord, how sweet that is. And we started doing Bible studies together. We started praying with our children together. And he told me one day, he said, I'll go to church with you all the time, Renee. He said, but I will not get up there and sing. They're his exact words. Because before Jesus, he played in a rock band. And, you know, he played in bars and he played around. You know, he was the cool guy, he likes to think. But anyway, and I remember him telling me that because I won't get up there and play. I said, well, I'm not asking you to. I was like, but that would even really, honestly, that was not a thought in my mind. I was just so thankful that the Lord was working in our lives. I didn't care if I ever heard him sing up there on stage. I just didn't care. I was like, okay, whatever. I was like, I don't know where that came from. But about 3 months later, someone asked him to sing in church. And when he got done singing, he came down and he was like, I'm supposed to do that. Because I think I'm supposed to do that. And it's funny, I know you ladies that go to church here with this, you know, Brian's like up there with the guitar and the microphone singing. Well, when he first started, he was way back in the back with just the guitar and no mic. He was so scared to go up front. But that story of surrendering our lives to the Lord, it's not over yet, you know, and that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in our lives and how he's calling my husband to lead us. He is the leader of our family, and while that's still hard for me some days, really, some of you can probably relate, when you don't have a man, a good man figure in your life, it's hard sometimes, even when it's your husband or someone you respect, it's hard to just trust completely in them and to let them lead you and guide you. But the Lord helps me do it. And about 2 years later, Brian started telling me, he's like, I'm called to ministry. And I knew it. I saw it in him from the very beginning. Brian has a huge heart. We love children. We love kids. We love youth, because when we were about these girls' age back here, we were a mess, a total mess, and we didn't have anybody pouring into us. So I want to encourage you ladies, pour into somebody, mentor somebody. Ask yourself, what kind of legacy am I leaving behind for my children, my grandchildren? Even if you don't have children, God has put somebody in your life that you can pour into. He has. So we were called into the ministry, and we're still on that journey right now. We were called here, and I love Florida. I love this church. Moving here was one of the hardest things I had to do, because our church family back home, that was our family. You know, that's where we grew in the Lord. They saw us through a lot. We just finished a 3-year adoption battle, and now we have a little boy in our family. So, you know, fighting through that and then moving right after that happens, it was hard. But you know what? God's not done with us yet. He's not done with our story. We have a heart for people. We have a heart for mission. My husband has led probably 4 mission trips overseas. And I went on my first one with him last March. And let me tell you, going on a mission trip for Jesus is amazing. But I was so honored to get to go on a mission trip with my husband, who I had prayed for so long, and to see him love on people. Love on people that had no idea who Jesus was. That had no idea that other people even loved them. It's just amazing. It's amazing to see that. And we're, like I said, God's not done with our story yet. He's still writing it. We mess up every day. We're human. We're all sinners, but you know what? Because of that night that Jesus was born in that manger is why I stand here today. And so I'm thankful for Christmas. I love the Christmas season. I love it. I love to think about Jesus being born for me, that God loved me so much. Even when I felt so unlovable, even on the days still when I battled feeling unloved, I think about Christmas, and I think about how Jesus loved me so much. God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to this earth to live a life and then be crucified for me, for my sins, and for your sins. So I just want to encourage you ladies today, pour into someone, mentor someone, and if there's anybody here in this room that doesn't know Jesus, please, I'll stay and talk to you. Anybody here that you want to talk to, it will change your life. It will totally change your life. He will change your life. Because right now I stand here today not because of me, but because of Jesus. Thank you.